I've been watching a series called Brain Games, where they take people and teach them about how our brain works by doing illusion tricks or various other things. One of the videos caught my attention. The host got two volunteers. He paid each of them $50 to do an action. For one of them, they had to act like they're frustrated, angry, or disappointed. The other one had to act like they're excited or happy or joyful. Didn't matter which. So then he had them hold that pose for a couple seconds, up to a minute. Afterwards, he said, okay, I'll give you a deal. You can bet your $50 and try and get double that, so $100. In 90% of the cases, the person who made a gloom or frustrated or angry expression would not bet. But in 90% of the cases, the person who was happy or excited would bet their money. He explained that when we are frustrated or angry or upset with life, we're less likely to take risks. But when we're happy and excited and joyful, we're much more likely to take a risk. How does this translate into our gospel? When we head into our gospel, we have the coin. That's kind of the central point of today's gospel. The coins for us represent grace. So, in this way, what is grace? I know we use the word a lot, but have we ever truly defined it? Do you know what we mean by grace? According to the Catechism, grace is the gift of God. Yeah, that didn't really help, did it? It actually made it worse. But think of it this way. If I start to explain what it looks like, you'll understand why that's a good definition and how vast the definition really is. When you talk about grace, it's any moment that God comes into our life. Because every moment that God comes to meet us is a gift. So maybe it is that we had a moment of peace. Or we saw a beautiful sunrise or sunset. Or maybe we had a moment where everything just worked out. Or maybe God spoke to us. Maybe we had a moment where we recognized God's presence in our life. All these things are graces. They're gifts. So what do we do with them? That's the big challenge. As we head in, we're going to start with the guy who had the one coin. The unfortunate guy who had only one. Now notice some details about the one coin. First of all, he was afraid. Out of fear, he buried the coin. On the second token, we are told that his master gave them according to their abilities. Could you imagine that poor guy getting one coin, seeing the other ones get two and five, going, man, he doesn't trust me. He doesn't think I can do anything with this. I'm not going to be able to make any money. I better bury it, so at least there's something in return. How often do we feel this way when we talk about the graces we've been given or the talents, skills, things of our lives? So often we speak the same language as this man. Oh, no, that's not from God. That's not a grace. No, that's not how it should be. This is something else. Or, no, I'm not good enough at that. I just don't have the talents for this. I shouldn't be using it. Or people are going to mock me. Oh, they're not going to like it. It's going to be worse. Everything's going to be bad. You hear that language? How often do we speak that way? That these things we've been given from God are not good enough. They're not good. They're not going to produce good. There's nothing good that's going to come from it. That's the same reaction from this man. He had that one coin and said, I'm not going to make enough, so I better bury it just in case. What's his response? The response is very important. After getting the coin back and giving it to his master, he has no joy. He has no happiness. His whole life is so centered on himself that he can't reach out. He sees nothing good in his life. He's frustrated, angry, and joyless. Is that how we want to be? Well, let's flip it around. Now let's go to the two that have the two coins and the five coins. Notice their reaction. So again, their master trusts them with a lot more wealth. So they look at it, the one with five coins, as we're told, immediately goes and trades and gets five more. It's instantaneous. That's how powerful this is. His master knew him well enough that he knew that those five coins were going to produce. There was no doubt in his mind. Same with the one with two. That's the way God sees us and the way we need to see ourselves. Just like an example from Brain Games where they had the person who was frustrated versus the person excited, same reaction to us. If we're frustrated and angry and upset with the gifts God has given us, we're never going to use them. But if we believe that God gave us something good, if we believe that our gifts are good and will produce good things, we'll want to use them and we'll see the good things that come from them. That's our challenge. We have to first, like these people, believe that God has given us good things. We have to believe that they're meant for good in the world. Good for ourselves, good for our community, good for our church, good for the world. In the same way, we also have to believe it's not just a one-to-one ratio. When God gives us something good, it always expands. It always grows. It always becomes more. Then we'll get what we're really looking for. Because both the one with the 2 coins and the one with the 5 coins were given the same result. Come share your master's joy. Same for us. Using our talents, the gifts, the graces God has given us gives us joy. Because we know that God exists. We can see him active and alive. We can be excited to recognize God's presence in our lives. So don't be afraid. Challenge yourself. Do I want to use God's grace or not? So on kind of a final note, to bring things together, the 2 other readings are kind of strange. They don't quite follow. The first one from Proverbs about a man finding a good wife kind of seems odd, but it's not. In some ways, we can take that idea of a good wife and recognize the value of the church. The church is a wonderful pool of graces for us, but how many of us know what the church can offer us? How many have plumbed into the depths of what the church can offer? How many of us know the theology well enough to realize what life it can give us? This is one of our challenges. We have so much grace around us. We have so many gifts that God has given us. We have no reason to believe we have only one little gift. It's probably somewhere in the thousands. And think about that. If we have that many, what are we missing? What else can we see? Where else can joy enter into our lives? And as St. Paul tells us, it's not tomorrow. It's not a year from now. It's not a lifetime from now. It's not an eternity, because that doesn't work. It's now. Now is the day we can start to experience these things. We have nothing to wait for. We have nothing to worry about. If we believe that God is good, which we do, right? If we believe that God gives good things because he really can't do otherwise, so that's kind of an important point, and we believe he's given us good things, then we should also believe we're meant to use those good things and be empowered by them. So we have nothing to be afraid of. We have everything to gain by recognizing the graces in our life, using them well, and seeing joy flower as we recognize God's presence in our lives, the things he can do, and the joy that comes from using the graces God has given us.